Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're now listening to the Sitting in the Park show with Bob. Today is a special show because I'm doing an interview. I'll show up in here right now are members of the Chicago group, The Center Stage. So I guess you guys, do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Kenny Rideout.
Ronald Christian.
I'm Kirk Davis, and we're formerly known as The Traits.
Yeah, definitely. They originally recorded as The Traits, and then you guys later became The Center Stage, right?
That's correct.
So I guess we'll go over the whole show. I guess we'll be going over history of the group and talking about the whole story. So I guess we can start off by telling who all the original members of the group were. You already gave your names. Who were the other members?
Gregory McGeeslin.
William Ledbetter.
Okay. And what parts did you guys sing?
Well, I was the lead vocalist and tenor. First tenor, second tenor.
Ron, I was baritone, first tenor, second tenor, and just about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Kirk Davis, better known as Billy Davis. I was singing baritone, second tenor, and lead.
Okay. So, and you guys' big hit in Chicago was Someday, Someway, which we'll definitely play during the interview. But first, can we talk about how you guys formed and where you guys are from in Chicago?
Well, we're all from the West Side. We started in K-Town.
That's right.
And we started in the gangways and the hallways.
Fillmore.
Yeah.
So what school did you guys go to again?
Well, we went to Marshall High.
Okay.
And that's where we really took it to another level.
Okay. That's probably the school that the most number of Chicago groups came out of, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just like all the people I talked to.
Yeah, well, they had this show they did every year called the Jamboree at Marshall High.
Okay.
And there were like a lot of groups that came from there. Raynard Minor, the Constellations.
Okay.
Versalettes.
Yeah, the Versalettes. Yeah, some of the Gems, they went there. And we were, what were we then? Were we the Traits or the Dimensions? We were the Dimensions at that time.
So you originally formed as the Dimensions. What year was that?
It had to be 63.
61, 62.
So in the early 60s, you guys formed as the Dimensions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we signed with Chess Records.
Okay.
When we were freshmen in high school.
So that's pretty early. So what was the story with that? How did you get hooked up with Chess Records?
Well, in those days, you could walk down... They call it Tin Pan Alley. You could walk down the street.
Wolf's Row.
And go right into a studio and sing a song, and if you were good, they'd sign you.
But they didn't necessarily record you, right? They
right.
sign you.
They sign you and...
You put it on the show.
Okay, so you guys were on Chess Records
yeah.
in the early 60s.
Yeah.
But did you record any material?
No, not for Chess, no.
Okay.
In fact, we got a release. We were kind of mad because they didn't... you know, do a song on us.
So how'd you were telling me earlier, how'd you get hooked up with Chess Records, actually?
Well, Raynard Minor.
Okay.
He was a producer and writer, and he wrote Girls Impressions.
So he was original member of the Gems, right?
He told us, yeah.
And he was like a blind songwriter.
A genius.
And he, I think he also wrote and worked with Henry Ford and the Gifts, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the big record he wrote was Rescue Me, Fontella.
Yeah.
Yes, he was more of a professional when we did the Jamborees. Raynard was the pro.
Okay.
So he directed us to Chess Records at that time.
So he was already on Chess Records because of the Gems were on Chess Records, right? And then he hooked you up with them.
Yeah.
So how long were you there? Like
about 6 months or a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had one guy, John Bryant, great singer, who sung with had a record called If.
Yeah, you were telling me he was in Love Horn.
Yeah, Candy Love and Della Horn, hence the name Love Horn.
Yeah.
Well, his mother wouldn't let him sign. He was in the group.
He was a member of your group?
Yes.
Okay.
And they were signing short guys like Frankie Lyman, you know, little front men.
Okay.
And his mother wouldn't let him sign. So we got a guy named Nate Beeks.
Okay.
He was little and he signed with us. Is that right?
Was his name?
Andre White.
Uh-uh. No, it wasn't Andre. That was me.
Mm-hmm.
It was
Nate Beeks.
It was Nate, yeah.
Right. Sure was Nate.
Yeah, right. And we wanted to record so bad.
Okay.
And we were awestruck by all the stars coming in and out of Chess. So we got our kicks out of just watching all the professionals, and we got tired of that, so we said, give us a release.
Okay.
And, you know.
Well, did you when you asked for a release, did you already have another label lined up?
No.
So you were just mad that they weren't recording you and you wanted to find another label.
Right.
Okay. So I guess you eventually ended up with Barry Dispenza, right?
Yeah, what a guy. What a guy.
I guess the most famous thing he did was he's credited as a writer on Can I Change My Mind?
Yeah, along with Carl Woolfolk.
But he actually had a couple record labels, or a few record labels in Chicago. One of them was called Contact, and that's the one that you ended up recording on, right?
Yes.
Right. But they came and got us.
As the Trace, yeah.
After Donald Clark, after we got away from Chess, Donald Clark kind of liked the group.
Donald Clark was an impresario in Chicago. He gave shows with young talent.
Okay.
And he was hooked up with a guy, was his mentor, was Al Johnson.
Okay.
Teens, it was called Teens with Talent.
Okay.
They were headquartered at the Sears YMCA.
Okay.
On the west side.
So that was like a club where you guys performed, or?
No. Okay. It was a training
camp.
Okay.
Training camp ran by Al Johnson.
Okay.
Donald Clark was his mentor.
Okay.
Donald Clark broke off with Al Johnson and formed his own thing called a Donald Clark Review.
Okay.
And that's where we got all our performing experience from.
So were you involved?
So we weren't recording at that time.
Were you involved with Teens with Talent before that?
No.
Okay. So what were you just started doing shows for this guy Donald Clark?
Right.
So what were the shows? They were
like hops.
Okay.
You know, at some of the pop.
He was actually competing against Al Johnson because he wanted to start his own review, so he had to. He had a good group with us, so he decided, he said, hey, we can do the same thing he's doing with the Conquistadors.
Right. Okay.
So that's what happened.
Donald, yeah, the Conquistadors like were Al Johnson's group, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you ended up, were you like Donald Clark's only group, or he had a bunch of groups?
No. What was that group with Archie?
Impassions.
The Impassions. Our girlfriends.
Our girls were in the group, too.
Both our wives.
Yeah.
I think there's an unreleased, I think it showed up, there's like an acetate of the Soft Teaks floating around.
Yeah.
Like they recorded, but they never released it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, too.
Right.
Yeah, we forgot Melvin Johnson. He was like a Jackie Wilson type artist, and he also sang with us during that time.
Matter of fact, the Impassions, one of them works for the...
Who, Joe?
Garrett.
Zach.
Little Zach.
Zach. Handsome guy.
Okay, so then you started doing shows for this guy Donald Clark,
right?
And like hops, and that's where Barry Dispenza saw you.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was what, around 64, around that time.
Might have been even earlier. I can't recall.
Okay. So then he ended up signing you to his record label, right?
Yeah.
Called Contact, and so you ended up recording the song Someday, Someway.
As the Traits.
Yeah, and so how did you get the name? What were you the Traits before then, or you changed it for the record, or what happened?
We changed it. He changed it. Made it to Traits. Yeah. Dispenza Barry.
Okay.
And
you don't know where he came up with that?
No. Well, he always came up with stuff.
He said it was the Traits of the Temptations. It was something like that, you know. And he said, then he started calling us the Traits. So we said, all right, we'll be the Traits.
Okay. Well, how about I'll play the record, and then we could talk some more. So this is your very first record, which was a big hit in Chicago.
13.
How old were we?
I was 13.
Ronald Christian was 13.
I was 13.
Okay. So you guys, you definitely had the sort of teen, youth Chicago sound, kind of like Henry Ford and the Gifts, sound.
Yeah, and we had built up a little following, too.
Okay.
With doing a lot of shows.
Okay. So I'll play the record, and then we could talk some more. So this is The Traits with Someday, Someway.
You're gonna love me.
Okay, that was just the Traits with their very first record called Someday, Someway. And if you're just tuning in, we're here live in the studio with three members of the Traits, who are the same group as the Center Stage.
Correct.
So that record broken, that was a pretty big hit in Chicago, right?
Yeah, it was big for us.
Definitely an excellent record, Chicago record. I know it got a second. He pressed it twice, like originally on a yellow label, and they pressed it on a gold label to, like, it says, like, nationally distributed by Parliament Studio, something like
those guys were doing some strange things.
Okay.
They used to pick us up in Cadillacs, and we didn't know that we bought it.
We bought their Cadillacs.
So they
gave us $500 apiece.
For that record?
Yeah.
We thought we was rich. And then we seen them in Cadillacs.
So and actually, one thing that's interesting, that song was written by Gregory Washington, right, the guitarist?
Great writer. He's the half-brother of Curtis Mayfield.
Long-time
okay.
friend.
And he was very talented.
Kansas City.
And he was really the key
okay.
to us recording and the songs were tailored especially for us.
Did you know him before you hooked up with Barry?
Yeah. Barry Washington, yeah.
Okay. And so he ended up writing the songs, though.
Yeah.
And his sister or something was in Silk, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Falling in Love Isn't Easy.
Yeah.
Written by one of the Traits, Kirk Davis.
Oh, thank you.
So, but you guys were still in high school when that came out, and did you start doing a lot more shows and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We didn't do a lot of shows for, like, money. We did a lot of promotional shows.
Okay.
For like the disc jockeys of the day, like Butterball Crane.
Okay.
Big Bill Hill.
They actually pushed the record very
Herb
hard.
Kent. We did a lot of hops.
Okay.
And that
because you were in high school, you couldn't even do like the nightclubs.
Oh, we
right?
did nightclubs. There
okay.
was a club called
Times Square.
Yeah, we did the birthday party for Melvin Franklin of the Temptations.
Okay.
And he celebrated his birthday with Herb Kent. Yeah. And they had all the Chicago entertainers as the entertainment of the night for the Temptations, who had just finished their engagement at the Regal Theater.
Okay.
And they came over that night to celebrate the birthday, and all the Chicago entertainers was the entertainment for the night. I forget who was who else besides us was on that show.
Billy Stewart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who else was on that show?
I remember. I remember Billy
Stewart.
Once I saw
the presentations, everything else was like
history.
Yeah.
So you guys were both not getting paid from the records and not getting paid from the shows.
Yeah, they kind of tit for tat thing.
Right.
They play our record and we do the hops.
Okay.
And we were hungry for stardom at that time, so we would kind of manipulate.
Young,
we were manipulated
man.
By most of the jocks and the promoters, you know, most of the time.
Okay.
So, we got paid sometimes.
Okay. But so throughout high school, though, you were performing in this group. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you recorded a follow-up record also on Barry's label. I'm not sure which side was the A side. It was Need Love or Someday Soon.
I Need Love.
Okay, that was the A side of the record.
Yeah, but Someday Soon got some play.
Okay.
It was like an A, B where they play both sides.
Okay. So who wrote that record? Do you remember?
Gregory Washington.
Okay, so did he write the later Center Stage stuff too?
Hey Lady.
Yeah.
He wrote the first two songs.
Okay, and one of them is a Bacharach David song.
Yeah.
So I'll play your second record that you recorded, and you recorded this while shortly after the first one. Do you remember how long it was between the records?
A couple of years, I think.
Wasn't that long?
No, it was shortly after that.
Eight, 9 months. Well, Wash is what we called him. We called him Wash.
Who, Gregory Washington?
Frank and Wash.
Okay, well, I'll play Need Love,
your
second record, and we'll talk some more.
Okay.
I do it the very day because
Okay, we're back in here with the Traits, who three of the members of the Traits are up in here talking about the group that was just your guy's second record called Need Love, and that didn't get as much play as the first one, right?
Some way was definitely
no,
yeah,
better airplay.
No, but it was a good follow-up to keep the name out there.
Yeah.
That's basically what they were doing.
So did you start doing a lot more shows?
Yeah, every night almost we gigged.
Okay. While you were in school, so almost
yeah.
every night?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Did you
Bad Boys.
Did you start traveling too?
Yeah, we did some traveling. Our first trip was a trip to Springfield, Illinois.
Okay.
And we got there late at night. And we went to sleep that night.
Okay.
And we woke up that morning. And it was an abandoned building.
We thought it was
the promoters hotel. Put us in an abandoned building.
Okay. Just real shady.
So we did the show the next day. And the promoters left us in Springfield with no money.
Okay.
So the club owner, he said, well, y'all can work for me. And we worked for him, and he didn't pay us. So it was a guy that said was at the club. He said that me, Kenny Rideout, looks like his son that was in Vietnam.
Okay.
And that he knew we were broke, and he put us up at a hotel.
That's the hotel.
And we were in the hotel, and we ordered room service, and we had a party. And he was a cook at the hotel.
Right.
Well, he came the next morning and saw that bill. He said, boys, I'm taking y'all somewhere else to live. And he took us to a boarding house. And it was the attic that we all were living in. So we went to do the gig that night. And when we came back to the boarding house, the woman said, nobody's paid for your rooms. So we said, well, where's the guy at? He had left us because he didn't want nothing to do with us because we abused him helping us.
Yeah.
And so we waited till late at night, and we went and climbed up a tree onto the roof, and we got our luggage out of the...
That was great.
We got our luggage out the boarding house.
Okay.
And then she called the police and told them that we burglarized her home, and they locked us all up. And they charged us with vagrancy. And Greg was dating the...
Sheriff's daughter.
The sheriff's daughter, the head man.
How long were you stuck in Springfield?
We were stuck in there for... We stayed down there for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, almost a month. I didn't get locked up.
Ronald Christian didn't get locked up.
He went to get some hamburgers, and he didn't get... He was like Richard Kimball. He got away.
Okay.
And they kept us in the lockup for 2 days, and they told us to get a bus ticket, and
okay.
That was the only way we could get out.
But you didn't have any. You didn't have money, though.
No, we had called home, and our mothers had told us not to go, but we went anyway. So some of my mothers let us stay.
So they eventually sent the money, though.
Yeah.
So you were stuck in Springfield for 3 weeks while you were in high school still?
That was a weekend. Mm-hmm. We didn't stay there that long. It was a weekend.
Not on that trip.
That first trip.
Not on that trip. No, we didn't.
Okay. But there were a lot of places to do shows up in Springfield? Is that what?
Not really.
Yeah.
They used to work a lot in East St. Louis and St. Louis.
Okay.
It was a good lesson learned.
It was our first road trip.
Yeah, that was our road trip. And
first
they just
one.
Made the money, and then they left with the money.
Okay.
And left us there.
The old promoter, you know,
so,
out of town.
So you recorded those two records for Barry Dispenza, and then did your contract expire, or what happened after that?
He had us on a year contract with 5 one-year options.
Okay. So he
could
drop you?
No, he was picking up the option after option.
Okay. But you initially only recorded those two records, and then did the group break up for a while or something? Because Kirk went with the Major Four for a while.
I was
right?
just mad at Barry, so I kind of had an arrogant attitude. I was like, man, I don't need you, you know. So I kind of went my way, but I was still connected to the guys.
I went to college. I wasn't.
Yeah, his parents sent him away.
Okay, so after you finished high school, the group was sort of dormant for a while.
It you were dormant, but Greg and Kenny and I, we were still tight. We were still together.
Okay, except you went to L.A. for a while to record with the Major Four, right?
Yeah.
I went to Seattle.
And Greg and I, right. We formed a group with two young ladies. But
you didn't record anything?
No, we just toured with the Artistics.
What was the name of your group?
I even forget what we called ourselves, but it was like a 50-mention type of a
okay.
sound.
Shirley and Lisa, and Greg, and it was good.
Okay, so then you got back together again and became the Center Stage.
That was Barry Despenser's idea again.
So you guys came back to Chicago, like you finished college, is that right? And you came back to Chicago. Okay, and then why'd you change your name to the Center Stage all of a sudden?
It was more for modernistic. Up to date.
Okay. So you re-recorded Someday, Some Way.
Yeah.
With other song on the flip, Hey Lady.
Yeah, it was produced by Barry Despenser again.
Okay.
And Donny Hathaway was the arranger.
Okay. So did you know Donny Hathaway at the time?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
They asked us, who did we want to do the arrangements, and I wanted Ray Cork out of Los Angeles that did Grazing the Grass
okay.
for the Friends of Distinction.
Okay.
Barry knew Donnie.
And he picked him, and it turned out to be, you know, something else.
Donnie
you know?
Invited us to his house, and we went over his house, and he was doing the arrangements to some of the songs, and it was quite an experience to be, you know, in the same room with Donny Hathaway. We remember his little daughters, they were twins at the time. They used to try to come in the room while we were rehearsing. You know?
Yeah, twin daughters?
Yeah, what they were twins, Layla and...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think they were twins.
Yeah, I only know his famous daughter, Layla, I don't know.
Yeah.
So you re-recorded Someday, Some Way and Hey Lady, and he put this record out on a label called Dispo,
right.
Which is another one of his labels. So the intended A side was it Hey Lady, or you wanted to remake Someday? What was supposed to be the A side for?
Someday, Some Way.
Okay, well I'll play the Someday, Some Way side, and then we'll talk a little bit more. So this is the Center Stage with their updated version of Someday, Some Way.
Keep pushing on and so, hey, some way.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today we're doing a special interview with the Chicago group, the Center Stage, who are the same group as the Traits. So that record we just played was the sort of updated version of Someday, Someway that you guys released once you changed your name to the Center Stage.
Right.
So that came out, around 69, I think?
70, 71.
Okay. So your new version of the record also got play in Chicago, right?
Yeah, it was a hit.
And it eventually got picked up by RCA Records, right?
Yeah.
So what's the story behind how you got to RCA Records?
Oh, wow. You want to tell that, Kurt?
Well, we were on stage at a club, I think it was Guys and Gals.
Yeah.
And we were performing with Rodney Jones and a few other radio disc jockeys. And somebody, the A&R man from RCA came in and told Rodney Jones that we had been signed with RCA. And they announced it over the loudspeaker, the Center Stage, has just been signed with the RCA. And we were like, what? And we didn't know if Barry Dispenza had already signed.
He had, well, our signatures were forged.
Our signatures. Wow.
By Barry Dispenza.
So, were you telling me he took a bunch of guys and impersonated you or something?
I don't know how he did it.
Okay.
I know that our names was on the contract.
And when I and saw it was my name, it didn't
misspelled. And so the head A&R guy in the Chicago branch of RCA, Victor Dave Kirschenbaum,
yes.
He said, you guys haven't signed? We said, no. And they teletyped the copies from New York and said, is that your signature? No, no, no. Each one of us, no. And he said, well, I don't want to have anything to do with this.
So what, why did Barry take your signing bonus? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, but did he just pay cash? Like, I don't understand how took your...
They paid him a check. We didn't know.
So they gave a check to Barry Dispenza
as
your signing bonus.
Right.
Yeah, that's not good.
And they were going to forget about the whole thing, and I just mentioned, I said, I can get Donny Hathaway, because we had got a relationship from working with him.
Okay.
And they said, you can get Donny Hathaway?
Well, was he wasn't big yet, though, right? They knew. Well, how did they know Donnie by then?
Well, they knew
him
because he did a lot of work with Curtis Mayfield.
Okay.
And Curtis was using the RCA studios.
Okay, because they had studios in Chicago at the time, right?
Yeah, before Kurt Tom, yeah.
Okay.
One North Wacker.
And so they said, you can get Donny Hathaway? I said, yeah. So they called, I called Donny Hathaway right there at the office.
Okay.
And I said, Donny, this is Ken, Center Stage. He goes, yeah? I said, yeah. I said, RCA wants to sign us, but they won't sign us unless we can get you. He said, RCA, the one with the dog? I said, yeah, the one with the dog. And he came down, and we rearranged everything, and we got our signing bonus, and we cut some stuff, you know.
So you got your money from
it. Right.
But the two records that got released, both got released on RCA, but Barry Dispenza released both of them first. Those were recorded by Barry, right? Not at RCA Studios, right?
Right, those, yeah.
Did you record, do you know what studios you recorded them at in Chicago?
Universal. Okay. With Murray Allen.
Okay. So he recorded those before you got to RCA, and RCA just...
Picked it up.
But you did record new material at RCA.
Yeah.
You just didn't ever release it, right?
They didn't release
okay.
it. We would have.
So actually, but before we talk more about it, I'll play the second record you recorded for Barry originally. And this is a cover of a Bacharach David tune called...
Are You There?
Are You There, yeah. Although he... When Barry released it, he put the wrong name on the record. He called it I Hear Music.
Yeah.
And RCA gave it the right title when they put it out. So I'll play the record and we'll talk some more. This is the Center Stage with the last record that they released. This is called Are You There?
Are you there with another guy instead of me? There's something
Okay. Okay, we're back on the air on WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're here up. You're here listening to an interview. Up in here right now is the Center Stage, or three members of the Center Stage. That was just the last record that you guys released, called "Are You There?" A cover. It's a Dionne Warwick cover, actually. And we were just talking about how you guys sort of you were going for like a more poppy. Like crossover type sound, you're talking about, like, yeah. The Fifth Dimension, as was your
right.
So
the big money.
So, and you were saying that you actually picked that song to cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
And discussed with the producer.
Okay.
And agreed. You know.
So Barry wanted you guys to crossover too.
Yeah.
Right? So, but there was some story behind the record, right? Like he wasn't supposed to release it, and it was supposed to come out on RCA. Like what was the deal with that?
Well, he was just corrupt, but he was a genius.
Okay.
I respect him for
he
that.
He had a lot of talent.
And, you know, when he did Can I Change My Mind for Tyrone Davis, he wrote that.
Yeah.
And it crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be with him sometimes when he picked up his royalty checks, and they were like giant checks.
Okay.
And I guess he wanted to keep it going, you know, so he...
And you guys had earlier done actually some backup work for some of his artists, right?
Yeah.
And you said you sang on Billy Easton's record.
Yeah, I forget the name of that song, but yeah.
Yeah, I would have brought that if
he kept us a little busy, you know.
Okay. But by then you were like not when that record came out, you were no longer affiliated with him. You were affiliated with RCA, right?
Right.
So
we had the management of Rick Powell.
Okay.
Which was Donny Hathaway's business partner.
Okay.
They had a publishing company called Don Powell.
Okay.
Donny Hathaway and Rick Powell.
Okay.
He was our manager.
So
and that's when we started doing shows for substantial money.
Okay. What kind of... So you were doing bigger shows back then.
Yeah.
What kind of places did you start doing shows at?
Well, the biggest places around in Chicago was That's Life, the High Chaparral.
Okay.
What else? You remember anything?
Yeah, Mr. Kelly's.
Yeah, Mr. Kelly's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was a Rush Street place. It was real.
Yeah, Chris James was talking about that in the Natural.
Yeah, Top Flight.
So it was like a supper club.
Top Flight.
He was talking about how, like, racist he thought the club was because he said they'd, like, shuffle you off the stage right after.
At that time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of clubs that were like that.
Okay.
That wasn't in the black community.
But they kept us working.
Yeah. Shout out to Helen Wooten.
Shout out to Paula Christian.
Shout out to the whole Davis clan. This is Bill Davis.
Hey, Helen. What's up, girl? Give us a call. Get us a show. Get us a contract.
Okay, so at the time you started doing bigger shows, and then you signed with RCA Records, and he put that out after you were on RCA Records, right?
Right.
So he didn't have the rights to put it out or anything.
No, he didn't. It was piracy. Yeah.
So he had like the but didn't he give the masters to RCA to put it out? Like what happened?
He had a quarter inch.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a quarter inch tapes.
Okay, so
that he mastered off of the quarter inch for the single that he put out that he shouldn't have.
So, but RCA had the better version of the tapes.
Of course, yeah.
So RCA put out the record too with the correct title after he put it out, right?
Right.
So, and RCA, did they stop? Did they sue him or keep him from putting it out or what?
They couldn't find him.
Okay.
He went underground.
So that ended up. So what happened? You recorded four records for RCA, and then how come nothing got released on you guys? You recorded four songs for RCA.
I don't know. I think they were just fed up with the...
controversy. It was a lot of problems with the...
whole situation.
Okay.
With the Barry situation, and they got frustrated.
They did a lot of promotions for us, RCA Victor.
Yeah, I saw that picture of you in Cashbox where...
Oh, yeah.
You guys are all given the power sign.
Yeah, that was the end.
But you just signed.
Baby.
but then nothing ended up happening because they ended up dropping you pretty soon, right?
Yeah, they called it in those days... a tax write-off.
Okay. So I guess what happened after that, I know that you Kenny, became involved with another group, Thunderfunk Symphony.
Yeah, it was like a Earth, Wind & Fire type group.
Okay. And did you other guys keep performing?
Yeah, we just started jobbing. Ron and I have been jobbing with a lot of groups since then.
Okay.
After the early 70s, Ron did some traveling, and I did a lot of traveling. I went to California and joined the majors with Mickey Stevenson.
But that was before the Center Stage stuff?
Before and after.
Okay, so after you were still with the majors for a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we'll play the last record you released, the B-side of... Are You There? This is a real nice record called Every Day is a Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Me and a guy, Reggie McEastland.
Okay.
He was blind. He was the brother of the...
Of Greg.
Greg McEastland.
He's my cousin.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys wrote this record, you're saying?
Yeah, we wrote it together.
Okay, so I'll play the record here. And if anyone has any questions or comments, you can call up at 773-702-8424.
Shout out to Reggie.
This is...
Reg!
This is the Center Stage with Every Day is a Fantasy.
Every day is a fantasy. Maybe you're a dream to me, a real living fantasy.
Okay, we're back here in the studio with the Center Stage, and I have on the phone right now, I don't know what to call her, one of your fans. Helen is on the phone. Helen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Helen's amazing.
Hello, guys. Center Stage, Trace, Billy, Ron, and my favorite person of all, Kenny Rydell. No discrimination, guys. And I would just like to say you all did a wonderful interview. There's still... I am still considered their biggest fan. In fact, so big that I would like to do them with the gospel program and program that I'm working on for future gospel music to be released. And I'm going to get these guys because I wish that we can take all the old groups and take the new school and put them together.
So you
make great harmony, great music, and bring old school together with the new school.
Yeah, it would definitely be nice to hear them sing again. But you said that they left off a lot of stories about their group, is that right?
Yes, because there were a lot of places they forgot they were performing, like We had the Coliseum that was on Wabash there that they performed.
Yeah, the Coliseum.
They did the St. Bernard's, the St.
The Peppermint Lounge.
The Merrillite House was our favorite spot. And this, they did so many places, I can't remember all of them, but they were Chicago's own special group. And also they talked about Reinhard Meiner, who worked with Leila Hathaway, and he's the founder for Minnie Riperton. A lot of great groups came out of Marshall High School. The group that Minnie sung with was the Gym.
Yeah.
And Zachary Saunders of the Constellations.
Right, Zachary.
And we had Ramsey Lewis's
sister.
Sister was our choral teacher.
Our chorus teacher that trained us all and stayed with us through thick and thin, no matter what.
Yeah, the group I interviewed a few weeks ago, the Trends were from Marshall, actually, but they were in as the Majestics in the 50s, they were in school, actually.
Right, okay. And then we had another great group where we had, we used to call Doc Brown, who sung with the Shylights, Doc, and Little Smokey.
Oh, wait, are you talking about the Five Wagers?
Five Wagers.
Yeah,
there
you go. I interviewed James Westbrook, actually, from the group. I interviewed him last year, I think.
Okay, and we had Gavin Christopher that was with him.
Okay.
And I'm just naming people, and he came on later. He was with Chaka Khan and Rufus.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think out of all the high schools in Chicago, Marshall had some of the most groups come out of it.
Yes, they had great songwriters, great producers, because Reinhard Meiner did Jackie Wilson. He also did Fontella Bass.
Rescue Me.
Yeah, Rescue Me. And that later on, Richard Franklin redid. And he did Little Milk. He did so many tremendous songs. Reinhard Meiner is the person that founded Minnie Riperton.
Okay. Through the Gems, right?
Through the Gems, yes. That's who she auditioned for.
Okay, well, thanks for adding the additional information.
And we left out Miss Mo, who's also...
Love you, Helen.
Love you guys. And look,
right, love you, sweetheart.
Okay, you're still my favorite guys in the world. And I'm looking forward to doing work with you guys.
Okay.
Again.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling up, Helen.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Okay, again, we're up in here live talking to the Traits, the Center Stage, the same group. So we were just talking about how the group sort of disbanded after the whole RCA thing, and Kenny became involved with a group called Thunderfunk Symphony.
Yeah, that was a great experience with Sonny Saunders, the arranger, producer. We used the Brunswick headquarters as a recording studio.
So, and, who were the members of that group?
Well, you had some great guys now. Chico Freeman, he's a sax phonist who is one of the top jazz tenor saxophones in the country now. We had Steve Galloway, trombone. Michael Davis Romley of Earth, Wind, and Fire was the trumpet. We had Kenny Elliott as a drummer. He's been with Lou Rawls for 10 years. Myself, the leader of the group was Jesus Wayne. He was a pianist and arranger. And Diane Cunningham, who had a record out.
Someday Baby.
Yeah, Someday.
Yeah, Eddie Sullivan wrote that.
Her real name is, that's her maiden name is Cunningham.
But okay.
She ended up marrying a trombone player, Steve Galloway.
Okay.
Who was with Count Basie for about 10 years. He was Count Basie's trombonist.
Okay.
But all those guys turned out to be great guys.
So, and you guys cut two records on a label called Innovation 2, right?
Yeah, that was something they were doing with, I think, Carl Davis and E. Rodney Jones.
I'm not sure. I think, did Warner Brothers distribute that label?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they put out a record on The Lost Generation. They put out a group called The Lost Family.
Mm-hmm.
They put out Your Guys. They put out a group called The Quadrophonics.
Yeah.
They put out Windy City was another group on the label.
Right.
They put out a record on Patty Drew.
Right. I toured with the Lost Generations when they had out Sly Slick and the Wicked.
Okay. But what were you touring at? Were you still the center stage?
No, I was a percussionist for Walter Jackson.
Okay.
It's All Over, Uphill Climbs to the Bottom, Lee Cross.
So actually, did you always play instruments, or what happened?
No, I was a front man for a band called Mother's Children.
Okay, so that was right after, before Thunderfunk Symphony, you had a band called Mother's Children.
They were the backup band for Center Stage.
Oh, okay. And then you just became involved with the band after the Center Stage kind of broke up.
Yeah.
So But you said you played percussion, actually. Did you learn to play drums earlier?
I learned to play percussion when I got with the Mother Children.
Oh, okay. You just picked it up.
I was the front in the band, and they said, well, when we do instrumentals, you can't leave off the stage and you can't stand there. Get some drums, man. Get busy. Do something.
So you stayed involved with music, like, continuously?
All my life, yeah.
So you said you were playing, like, backup for, you said, Walter Jackson when touring with the Lost Generation.
Shylights were the headliners, Tyrone Davis.
Okay. And then
the Brunswick Review.
Yeah, they, all those were Brunswick artists, and then mm-hmm. and then how did Thunder Funk Symphony form?
It was a childhood friend who grew up with us, Kirk and Ron, and all of us grew up together. He always wanted to be in the group, but he couldn't sing, so he went to school and got his musical degree.
are you talking about Jesus?
Yeah, Jesus Wayne.
Okay.
A lot of groups at that time, like Confunction, Ohio Players. The self-contained thing was happening.
Okay.
So he had the idea to form a group in the vein of Earth, Wind, and Fire type funk band.
And he had a disco album later, right, on AVI in the late 70s?
Yeah.
so you guys formed the group, and you cut two records on Innovation 2, right? One of them was called Sky Blue, and the other one was 40 Days and 40 Nights. Is that right?
Yeah.
So which did any of them, either of them, get play?
Yeah, Sky Blue got some play, and we did a lot of large concerts.
Okay.
With major artists.
Okay.
Kool & the Gang. They had our Jungle Boogie at the time.
Okay.
The Spinners. They had just switched over from, I think, Felipe Wynn had died.
Okay.
And they had the, no, he hadn't died. He was with Funkadelic, Felipe Wynn.
Yeah. Okay.
He was a singer with Funkadelic, Felipe Wynn of the Spinners.
Okay.
And they had got John Edwards.
Okay.
And we did a concert with them, and, you know. The record, I hear, it did pretty good in Europe.
The Sky Blue record?
Yeah. It was sort of like a Van McCoy hustle type.
Yeah. Well, I'll play the record, and then we can talk some more. So this
okay,
is,
Bob.
This is the Thunder Funk Symphony with Sky Blue.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back up in here. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show on WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago, live up in here now. We're doing an interview with three members of the Traits, who are the same group as the Center Stage. So the song we just played was actually by the Thunder Funk Symphony, and that was Sky Blue. And we were just talking, Kenny was a member of that group.
Yeah.
And you were saying you also, in addition to being a vocalist, you sang, and I mean, you played congas in the group,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened? The group was around for a little bit and then broke up?
Yeah, it was almost like, what was that Philadelphia team that was so good, but they never won a championship? The 76
yeah.
Philadelphia Sixers. They just too many stars.
Okay. So you were all big-headed or something like that? Or
yeah.
It, okay.
Yeah.
So when did you break up? In the, like, mid-70s, something like that?
Yeah.
And but you continue to be involved with music, right?
Yeah, I stayed with Jesus Wayne, the producer and organizer of that group, and did some 12-inch stuff around the disco era
okay.
on Salso Records.
And that your Salso 12-inch came out around 81, right?
Right.
So I brought it here.
Oh, really? You got the copy of that? Oh, my God.
I managed to find the record.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to steal that from you.
Okay. And I don't know if what were the other members of the group doing around the time?
Of what group?
Of the traits.
Oh yeah, I was still working with freelance as with a group called the Mixed Company. I was a bass guitar player and singer, and Ken and I was still
working in a, it was a top 40 band.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what top 40 is?
You mean the, like just top 40 songs? You
yeah, playing? But. The catch to that is that you become a human jukebox.
Okay.
You work these clubs, which was mainly in like white suburbs.
Okay.
And you played 40 minutes, and you were off 20 minutes.
Okay.
And as soon as that 20 minutes was up, they'd pull a plug out of the jukebox, and you got to get back up there. 5 sets a night.
Okay.
5 40-minute sets.
You got lucky. We only did 3 sets.
Rough work.
Okay. So, but so I'll play the this is, so the last record you ever ended up releasing
as Kenny Wright, I was a soloist.
What was this disco 12-inch on Salso, right?
Yeah.
So I'll play the record now. What was the record called?
Well, they were kind of undecided on what they were going to make an A side, so it was like called Right Now.
Okay.
And the other side was called Out of Sight.
Okay, so I'll play the Right Now side, and then we can.
It's a long record. You're going to probably have to fade it.
That's fine. I can fade the long disco record. But we'll play a little bit so the listeners can get
an
idea of what you were doing at the time. And then I'll fade it. We can talk some more.
Okay.
Okay, that was just Kenny Rideout with solo 12-inch that he released on Salso Records in 1981.
Yeah, that was something. I mean, just listening to it tonight, it really was hot.
How'd you get hooked up with Salso Records?
Well, I had a manager that was introduced to me by Jesus Wayne, the producer and writer.
Okay.
His name is Dr. Ernest Hayes.
Okay.
He's a gynecologist, resides here in Chicago, and he took an interest in music.
Okay.
And they hooked everything up in New York with the Carey brothers.
Okay.
Ken Carey, Stan Carey. There was another brother. They call themselves Mighty Three. That was their publishing.
Okay.
Yeah, Salso Records.
Okay. So
they all went to jail.
So then you were telling me earlier that you ended up it was never released, but Kirk was involved with recording a whole album on you, like in Florida somewhere, or I don't remember.
Before
he went to Florida. Yeah,
we had done the tracks, and I did the vocals in Florida.
So that was like
some of the vocals, but we did
some of it.
Yeah, that was like in 84, 85.
Okay.
Yeah, at Criteria Recording Studios in Florida.
Okay.
But that never came out.
Okay. But you don't have the tapes or the recordings of that or anything, right?
I got a couple of the songs, but it was a whole album.
Okay. It'd be cool for that recording to see the light of day sometime.
Yeah, I'll get those to you. In fact, I'm thinking about recutting two of the songs in particular that was written by Kirk.
Okay.
One's called A Matter of Believing. It's an inspirational song, and the other song is called Another Day.
Okay.
Those songs are great songs, and we always tried to write our songs where they weren't a faddish type of stuff, the stuff that we wrote ourselves personally.
Okay.
That is relevant even today, you know.
Okay.
That's how we try to write in those two songs.
Inspiring.
Yeah.
So what are you guys all doing now?
We're still writing and producing. I have my own production company, Sabad Productions. It's been going on for the last 15 years.
Ron, yeah, I'm still singing. I'm just singing with a lot of.
And Ron and I do a lot of jobbing.
Okay.
Kenny and I did a lot of jobbing for a while.
I have my own production company called Lakefront Productions.
Okay.
I've had it since Kirk and I, the Miami, Florida days.
Okay.
And I just revived the production company, and I just recently finished a CD called Moving On.
Okay.
And the one that we picked to release as a single is called My Bad.
Okay.
That's fantastic, too.
Yeah, and I think you have a copy of that.
Yeah, Moving On.
Yeah.
Oh, My Bad.
Yeah.
And so we'll play it at the end of the end of the show. So I guess for the rest of the time, so first of all, is there any final words you want to say to the listening audience?
Well,
we still love you.
That's a good one.
I'd like to say, with faith, all things are possible. And if you believe in yourself, you've got it going on.
Well, music is a lesson in life. I have to say that all four of us are still alive. There's only one member who was really the best singer in the group, Greg McEastland. He passed on early of a drug overdose, and we learned our lessons when he passed about drugs, so we never got hooked on drugs, you know, and we're still carrying on musically.
Okay.
And
where's the final member of the group now?
He William Ledbetter was the bass singer, and I thought that he was as good as Melvin.
Okay.
If not better.
Melvin, in Milwaukee.
Melvin Franklin of the Temptations, he was just as great, or maybe better. Yeah, he lives
Ron
in Milwaukee.
Although Ron left for that short time, I've always felt that we were still the center stage. You know, we've always been the center stage.
Well, correct.
Okay. So I guess right now, I gotta say thanks a lot for coming up here and telling your story.
Bob, I'd like to thank you, man, and tell you that you did a great job.
Excellent job, man.
And we really appreciate
your research.
Because I never thought anybody that I would ever hear those songs, especially the early traits,
right?
stuff. I never thought I'd ever hear it again.
People remember those records. Like when I play Someday, Someway, people call up. So.
Oh, yeah.
I think of that as like a classic Chicago record, like that song. Cause
thank you.
It's got a real Chicago sound. Real nice sound.
Thank you.
Okay, well, for the rest of the show, we'll be playing more Trade Center Stage-related material, and we got a special exclusive track up in here of one of your unreleased RCA recordings, right?
Yes.
So this is one of the four cuts that you recorded at RCA. It's kind of poor quality recording because I'm going to play it off a cassette tape, but you won't hear this anywhere else. So what's the name of this track I'm going to play?
It's a Carole King song called So Far Away.
And if anyone has any questions or comments for the group, you can call up at 773-702-8424. And again, here is unreleased Traits Center Stage, actually Center Stage at the Time record called So Far Away.
Thank you.
Okay, you just heard the center stage, Hey Lady.
With Pope.
Before that.
The Pope, baby. Greg MacEastland.
Yeah, singing lead on that.
Yeah.
The one member who's since passed away. And before that, you heard the Traits with Someday Soon. I guess there is one.
Kirk Davis on the lead on that Someday Soon.
There is one more record I haven't played, which is You Waited Too Long, which I'll play that after we play this record. This record that I'm going to play now is the new CD that you released.
Yeah,
right?
Kenny Wright CD. Yeah, moving on.
Okay, so what do you do? Can you people
I
buy
wrote,
this CD or
I wrote that.
Okay,
along with Keith Henderson, who's one of the producers, famous for working with the Emotions. He wrote the song Rejoice.
Okay.
And
so can people buy this CD somewhere or what?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. We're still building a web page and we're going to do some online stuff because it's hard to get records played nowadays with the corporate
with like Clear Channel controlling everything.
Yeah, you know, we need more guys like you, Bob.
You know, I'm playing mostly old records, so I'm not helping.
Well, you know what I'm saying though.
I'm breaking your old records.
More radio people.
Well, the only way I can do this is because it's a non-commercial radio station, so
like
I don't get paid, and it's we don't have ads, so.
Well, we're going to Mississippi.
Okay.
That's where we're gonna go.
Going to the south.
South, man. We're gonna put it out down there first.
Yeah, actually, I was talking to Emmett Garner. He was telling me that the radio waves are like less corporate controlled down south. Like somehow they have like more local radio where you have more chance of getting on the air.
That's what we're gonna do.
Okay, well, I
guess, and we're gonna do the online thing too.
Well, I hope you make it on this one. So this is.
Well, if we don't, we're gonna keep pushing. We're gonna do something else. We're gonna do some more.
I'm sure you'll always be involved with music.
Keep on going, man.
So if anybody has any questions that they want to call up in the last few minutes, the number here is 773-702-8424. We're going to play this solo record, this new record by Kenny Wright, and then I got one more Traits record to play.
And I'd like to just mention that Helen Wooten is helping me with the My Bad, this new CD.
Okay, so this song is called My Bad by Kenny Wright.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back on the air. That was just the Kenny Rideout's new record called My Bad. And we have time for one more record. You wanted to say one more thing before we play the last record, right?
I'd just like to send a shout-out to Richard P. Gee.
Richard P. Gee, hey,
who
Rich.
Helped us a lot, and we forgot to mention Richard. And he just called in, and we told him, we said, we're going to shout-out to you, Richard, and we're going to listen to you on...
He's on WKKC
89.3 FM.
Saturday nights, I
KKC.
Think. I hope I didn't get that wrong. Okay, cool. So this last track we're going to play is the flip of Someday, Someway. The original version, this is The Traits with You Waited Too Long.